Do you have an outhouse?
I do have an outhouse.
My dad has told me about having an outhouse. I've never actually met one other than him.
I have an outhouse because I want an outhouse, not because I need an outhouse.
Okay, so you want to tell me that your lovely wife, Rhonda, enjoys in the middle of the wintertime having to walk outside the house?
Well, no, it's right next to the back door.
Oh, right, but beautiful.
Welcome to the Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Congressman Thomas Massie is representing Kentucky's 4th District, but that's not why we brought him in here on the Disruption Zone, Cameron. We wanted to talk to people that disrupt the status quo, if you will. And in a way that has nothing to do with politics, he's done that.
Is still doing that.
He's figured out how to take a used Tesla battery from a wrecked Tesla car, build it into a power wall, and run his entire house off the grid with this electricity.
Oh, you too. You've done that too.
Yeah. I mean, we saw that you had done it, and we thought, hey.
You went through the same struggles I did in getting my wall set up.
He's like, we've all done that. We've all been there, Congressman.
We could outsource this and work together, but whatever. It worked well.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
So seriously,
is this called the disruptors because you disrupt your guests?
Yes, oh yeah, exactly right.
Oh yeah. No, let's prepare. Yeah, no, that will happen.
Our goal is,
and
to
it's
make...
not an intent. It just kind of it's the way we work with each other, and so you're just being brought into the fold.
Actually, right. I was going to say our goal is to make you as uncomfortable as possible for the next 30 minutes or so.
Maybe in a different way than he's used to be felt uncomfortable. Leave here and think those guys are idiots.
All right. So in all seriousness, you have been living off the grid for a while. Why?
Yeah, for over a decade. My family.
Oh, yeah, you're a U.S. congressman who lives off the grid.
Right. Let's talk about what off the grid
yes,
is.
Yes, thank yes, you. Please. Let's do that.
Because some people think that means you live in a cave.
Or outhouse.
Or a wigwam or something.
Do you have an outhouse?
I do have an outhouse.
Okay. Right. My dad has told me about having an outhouse. I've never actually met one other than him.
I have an outhouse because I want an outhouse, not because I need an outhouse.
Okay, so you want to tell me that your lovely wife, Rhonda, enjoys in the middle of the wintertime having to walk outside the house?
Well, no, it's right next to the back door.
Oh, right, but beautiful. This is beautiful.
Still out.
No, hold on.
It's out.
Let's back up. All right. Okay. All right. I didn't know this was going to go here, but since we're here, let's clear the air. When we were building our house off the grid, we did need a place to take a break. So we built an outhouse. It's got a porch. It's got cedar lining, and it has a slate roof.
Wow. Now, that is the best porta potty I've ever heard of.
It really is, actually.
But that is not what we use. We have running water. So off the grid to us means we get our water from a well that we dug.
Right.
Our electricity, it comes from the solar panels that charge batteries, and that's what I was told we were going to talk about.
Well, yes, we are. Okay. We're getting there. We're getting there.
That's the backstory, though. There's a lot of backstory here.
Dude, we're talking about a U.S. congressman's porta potty. I mean, that's awesome.
Okay, and then we have a leach field and a septic tank instead of a sewer. So the connection, the way we communicate with the world, though, is I have a commercial-grade Wi-Fi antenna that beams a signal from my in-law's house that's half away, half a mile away. And that's how we get our internet, and then our phone works through that.
Okay. Wow. So you're literally 100% off the grid. You have no attachments to any sort of official utilities.
That's right. You remember when you were a kid and you got like a remote control car for Christmas and you're all excited and you tear it open.
Yeah.
But the box, it was packaged such that you couldn't see the
wire. Wire, yes.
Yeah, right?
Yes. Yes. Such a disappointing gift.
When I look at houses.
All of a sudden you're on a leash.
That aren't off the grid. To me, they look like those toys that had the wire going to the remote control. They're not really independent.
That makes
why?
Sense.
Why is that so important to you?
Why? Well, you know, I visited Monticello, where another Thomas.
Oh, my God. Sure. Talk about an inventor.
Yeah. And an innovator and a disruptor.
Yeah.
But he had a lot of neat things there at Monticello. And if they had had electricity back then, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have bought it from a government-regulated cooperative.
Right.
Right. If he could have made it there on top of his hill in Monticello, by golly, he would have.
Right.
And so it's for me, it's the independence of it. And I think it's also a good model for our country. I mean, if our country were more independent from
self-sufficient
from an energy standpoint, then we wouldn't have all the bad karma that we do from being involved in so many wars overseas.
That's a really good point. And to your point, too, about Monticello, just real quick, total sidebar, because we tend to chase rabbit trails a little bit. What was your favorite thing in Thomas Jefferson's house? I mean, what his inventions? They had the clock that goes like all the way through the floor. They've got the rocking chair and the special reading glass contraption. I mean, what was your favorite invention that he had?
It wasn't so much as an invention, but something I could see he struggled with at the top of that hill was water.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had tin roofs, metal roofs, on top of some of the exterior buildings, and all of the rainwater from the roofs got collected, and they used it because it was precious.
That's awesome.
And water is very important, and just the fact that he dealt with that, and I realized, you know, if Thomas Jefferson had plastic pipe, like some one-inch plastic pipe, his life would have been like 10 times better, but he didn't have any plastic pipe
Why
or metal
think of
pipe
that?
For that.
I don't understand why he didn't think of that. So this brings us to the your goal from the beginning was to get completely off the grid, and you really were just finally able to, I mean, you were off the grid, but you made it more convenient by this project that you did with the Tesla.
Right.
So let's go there and start with,
now,
so people understand this too, Tesla, they don't just sell cars, they have a home powering system called a Tesla Powerwall.
That's right.
And you can purchase this thing and you can put a solar roof on and it'll charge and do all this kind of stuff. But apparently the problem for you was that they don't sell those to people who are completely off the grid. They want to exchange with the grid with the commercial products. So you want to go way around that.
That's right. There is a commercially available Powerwall, if you will, from Tesla. But number one, it costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So I saved money by taking a battery out of a wrecked car. But number two, they won't sell it to you. It's made of unobtainium, as far as I know.
Like, where is that mined?
if you are off the grid,
why own an unobtainium mine?
It's worth a lot.
Tasmania.
It's worth a lot. But let me tell you about living off the grid and why the battery is so important. Because some people think we went off the grid to save money. To your point, you know, why? What was your motivation?
Yeah.
It actually costs more to use the same amount of power off the grid as if you were than if you were connected to a wire. So because of the batteries that we had in our house, they were lead acid batteries. I mean, these things were invented at the turn of the century, right? And they've got sulfuric acid in them. They emit explosive hydrogen. They emit hydrogen sulfide, which is odorless and will kill you.
All of which is a problem inside your house.
That's a little bit of
like
a problem.
Be a problem anywhere.
And they don't have a lot of capacity. And when you use their capacity, like more than half their capacity, you shorten their lifespan considerably, you know, if you use all of your battery at night. So what we have done for the last 11 years is we turn the air conditioner off at night.
Ooh.
Because our battery didn't have the capacity to power an air conditioner. And to go buy more lead-acid batteries just didn't make sense financially.
I can't sleep without an air. I will turn the air conditioner on in the winter time.
Yeah, me too. I will drive with the windows down and the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the... Are the batteries so important to what you did? And what changed? The lead-acid, what are they usually in? Why do these batteries exist? Where do people usually use them?
Well, these lead-acid batteries...
It's kind of like what's in your car, right?
In your car, but at this scale, you would see them in forklifts.
Okay.
If they use them inside of a warehouse where they don't want a motor running, an internal combustion motor emitting carbon monoxide.
Or explosive hydrogen.
Right. Yeah, well...
I mean, I don't know that...
Right. Well, it only emits that when you charge them.
Okay.
So you could take that somewhere else. But these lead-acid batteries, they've been around for over 100 years.
Okay.
And so... By and plus they have a shelf life. I mean, every battery has a shelf life, right? I mean, and then I saw your YouTube video, which showed that these things were nearing the end of that life.
Yeah.
And so you weren't able to run the house as effectively on a large number of batteries, and that was getting pretty clunky for you.
It was getting worse than clunky. We have a backup generator that runs on propane.
Okay.
Now, when we first got these batteries, they had enough capacity that in the spring, summer, and fall, our backup generator never kicked on. And in the winter, it might kick on once a week if you went 2 weeks without any good sunny day. But we had gotten to the point a couple of months ago, the generator had to run twice at night. Mm. Like, the batteries couldn't even get our house through the nighttime.
Wow.
And I had to get on a plane and go to Washington, D.C., knowing that if that generator didn't start twice a day, that I was going to have freezers with food in them thawing, that my I would come back home, my family would have evacuated to my in-laws' house, you know, because when you live off the grid,
right,
if you have your own well, the well also requires the electricity for
your system. At this point, okay, most Americans are sitting here thinking to themselves, just plug in, for God's sakes, man. Yeah.
Listen, we have
I built a battery wall. That's what I did. I plugged in and I finally gave up.
With you, the exception of my present company accepted.
Trust me.
The air conditioning was the stopper for me. When I heard no air conditioning, possibly, I was, all right, I'm out.
Yeah. So trust me, there have been moments, there have been struggles where we've thought about just running that wire to the house.
Right.
The nearest telephone pole is half a mile away. It's feasible, but it would cost money. But it's just, I don't know, it's the freedom of it. Again, not having that wire. Because I started, you know, this mission, my family and I, we started on this adventure long before I ever got into politics.
Right.
And what I realized was, if the government doesn't like what you're doing in your house,
yeah,
whether you haven't got the right permit or you haven't filed this paperwork, they don't usually send a sheriff out there to fix that.
Yeah,
they just call up the electric company and say, turn off his power.
Right.
And
assuming you're done at that point, that we've got it. Yeah, we've got it.
Who can live in their house for more than 48 hours without electricity? Not
right.
Very many people.
I feel very weak right now.
Yeah. No kidding.
I feel like if the government wanted me, they'd just have me.
Yeah. Done. All right. So
the
then
Matrix.
This idea for the Tesla wall came along because they were already doing it, but they wanted you to be connected to the grid to purchase.
Yeah. What was that about? And I don't mean to interrupt them, but why will they not sell you their power wall? Why is there got to be a trade thing?
Oh, because when you buy a Powerwall right now from Tesla, they've got an arrangement with the power company. And
okay.
So the power company is using that Powerwall inside of your house.
They're getting some of that power back.
That's right.
It's going back on the grid.
To balance loads.
Right. Okay, there you go.
So it makes more sense when they do it that way.
Right.
So even as far as you're concerned, you understand why they do it. It's not won't sell it to you, but you get what they're doing.
From their standpoint, from a business standpoint, there's only a few Thomas Masseys out there. And so that's not exactly a viable economic sector yet until someone proves it can be done for an off-the-grid thing, which is why you're kind of disrupting things.
That's right. There may be 100,000 people in the United States off the grid, but there's 300 million people that are on the grid. And so they're going to the biggest market first. Now, the idea for this came actually from my car. I have a Tesla Model S.
Right.
And I just made
so people understand this. You're the only congressman that has a Tesla. And you have coal plates on it.
Yeah, I have friends of coal.
I love that. Friends of coal.
Friends of coal license plates on it.
Yeah, this isn't an environment statement for you.
And let me tell you why it's got friends of coal plates on it. Because when I brought this Tesla home, and my wife said, so let me get this straight. I can either run the air conditioner or I can charge your car. My car literally sat so long without charging that it went dead, and I had to call Tesla to come in, like, jumpstart it again. Like, that's how long we left it unplugged.
That's hilarious.
So I put the Friends of Coal plates on it and took it to Washington, D.C., and I charged it up there for an outlet.
I love it.
But the idea, you know, I don't think I would have jumped off of this ledge and bought a battery from a wrecked Model S Tesla unless I had witnessed the performance of this battery for 5 years. I've had my Model S for 5 years, and I was going to tell you how I know.
Yeah.
I just got the notice in the mail when I made the last payment.
Wow.
Right?
So wow.
That's a good feeling to get that letter from the bank.
So you've paid off this thing, and the quality of what they've put together is fantastic.
It's amazing. And so my car has 44,000 miles on it, and the range has decreased by only maybe 3%.
What is the range?
Yeah, that's...
Okay, it's about 250 miles I can go on a charge.
Okay.
So when I got it, it was about, I don't know, 260 miles.
Yeah.
So it hasn't lost much power, much capacity, and that gave me the confidence that if I paid a lot of money for a wrecked Tesla battery, because these things are still expensive even on the black market or gray market or whatever. By the way, before I bought a battery, I tried just buying a wrecked Tesla. I went online. There's these online auction houses for cars that have been totaled by the insurance companies. And I got a guy that buys these cars and takes them apart. He's in the business of it, to bid on these for me. And I get outbid by somebody from the Ukraine. Like, this is shady business.
Wow.
And there were some cars.
You know, you're going to have this, the Ukrainian mob's going to show up at his house and be like, we would like our car, please.
Yeah. And there's, that's a terrible Ukrainian accent, by the way.
I can't. I don't even know what a Ukrainian accent is.
I can tell. Okay. I don't either, but I know it's not that.
There are also these other problems, right? There was a flood in Houston, right? So the market of salvaged Teslas is full of flood cars. Ooh. And those batteries are they're a crapshoot. I mean, right. A lot of them are no good.
Just based on the
they took on water,
yeah. So it's not a, they're done. They could be done. They could be not. You're just, you got to take a chance.
That's right. Okay. Roll the dice.
You say you have a battery or bought a used battery.
Yeah.
It's not one battery though, is it?
Right. Good.
Hundreds or thousands or it's more than you think.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of batteries that make up the battery.
There are 7,104 little laptop batteries and a Tesla battery. Okay. Now,
so I could run 7,000 laptops off of your car battery.
Well, no, you could run 7,000 flashlights.
That either off or on the grid, that's chargeable, is amazing to me, out of one outlet.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. A laptop probably has like 6 of those cells.
Okay.
In it. So you could only run 1,200 laptops off this battery. Yeah,
my bad.
Or, I don't know, 10,000 iPhones.
You'd buy another building for those computers.
Yeah.
So, anyways, the battery itself has all those smaller batteries inside of it, and they're arranged in modules. So there are 16 modules. Each module has 444 batteries in it, of those little batteries. So the Tesla battery that's in the car, and by the way, I eventually found somebody who had bought a wrecked car and was going to sell me the battery, so I just was able to buy the battery. I didn't want to go into the business of selling door handles and dashboards. And,
right.
You know, then I'd be on eBay. And,
right. Right.
Well, this window crank doesn't fit. You know,
do Teslas you a bad... have window cranks in them?
Well, okay, window regulation.
Great point. Yeah, if they do, then we need to talk. I think you're being conned by this company.
Well, to save energy, you'll do anything.
Yeah,
right?
Okay,
it should be an aftermarket. So, anyways, the battery is 400 volts. 400 volts.
That's a lot of shock.
Yeah, and
that's no taser.
It's going to lay you out. Okay. Yeah. And my whole house is set up to run on 48 volts.
Okay.
So that was the first problem, challenge.
So basically, if you
downgrade
hooked it up
somehow, right? I'm not probably not using the right word there, but you had to take it from.
Well, if you hooked it up like that, it would blow everything apart,
that's
right?
What I'm saying.
The wires would smoke.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
It would not make the air conditioner.
It'd be like trying to put. It'd be like
the air conditioner wouldn't work double hard.
It'd be like trying to put a 400 cubic inch engine in like a smart car.
Yeah, right.
Something's not going to fit.
That sounds pretty cool, though.
That's actually kind of what I
there
did.
There we go. Okay. You figured out how to make it work.
A 454 in a Vega, right? But I had to take the cylinders apart and rearrange them.
Right.
Because there are 16 modules in this battery. Each of them are a 24 volts.
Okay.
So it's like a big tuna can, this battery is. It's got 400 or so screws holding the top on, and then it's glued on. But my sons and I, we took this battery apart. We disassembled the metal piece that's around all these cells, and then we individually removed the modules, and we wired them together in a series parallel configuration.
Sure, yeah.
That gives us
absolutely
as much energy as the original Tesla battery had, but at a lower voltage and a higher amperage. And
jeez.
And the trick now.
It all sounds great.
Sounds so simple.
Right.
It would be, except there's a problem.
Okay.
All that is simple.
Right.
And we're both like, yeah. We're already at the bottom.
I heard the word.
And he's going, this is just the easy part.
I heard the word amperage, and I was like, God.
No. That is the easy part.
Right.
Okay. The problem with Tesla batteries or any lithium battery in general is that, just like among people, some batteries perform better than other batteries.
Right.
And if you don't take that into account and you recharge and discharge these batteries, eventually the good performers are going to be at the top and the dead ones are going to be at the bottom, and your battery's going to catch on fire. You're going to eventually overcharge a cell, one of those 700.
So you have to set it up so that this is all being done evenly across the battery, if
and,
that makes
and
sense.
And the Tesla, each of those modules, I told you there's 16 modules, has a little computer on it that keeps track of all the voltages of all those batteries inside of there. And so what I needed to do was to either rip those computers off and build another computer that would manage those batteries, or figure out how to talk to all those little Tesla computers that are on the batteries. And they're just this past year, literally this summer and this fall, some hackers have figured out how to talk to the computers on the Tesla batteries. and a guy in Missouri.
Leland.
Hold on a second.
Some hackers.
We talked about Ukrainian businessmen.
Yeah.
Cars on a black market.
Now we're into hackers
in Missouri.
That are accomplishing exactly what he needs to
accomplish. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, we're in, man.
So the guy's name
is getting better and better.
The guy's name is Jack.
Okay, sure.
And Jack sold me a circuit, a little microcontroller. It's called an Arduino. And some cabling.
R2 what?
Arduino.
Arduino.
R2 Arduino?
You'll learn.
Yeah, that's right. And so I took all the stuff that Jack sold me and I put it in my own electrical box, and I call that thing the Jack in the Box.
I saw that on the video. Yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
Okay, so
I love that.
Jack in the Box talks to the Tesla battery, and then if something's going wrong in the Tesla battery, it disconnects it from my house.
Wow.
And so that's what Jack in the Box
does. So if this stuff starts to get crazy...
Disconnecting it from your house, though, mm-hmm. is that's not going to stop it from...
Well, the house quits when that happens.
Okay,
yeah.
So it's not pulling in more power, so it's not going to cause an explosion.
But you have to understand, Cameron, what he's doing here is keeping his house from getting blown up.
Right, that's what I said. Okay. I understand that it shuts it all down. It's like at the gas pump, right? That red box,
yes.
If it's spilling everywhere, you just hit that, we're good.
Actually,
hit the button.
Okay. Have you all seen the series Lost?
Yes,
I've heard of it.
Yes. There was a button on the island that they had to press like once every 72 hours or the whole island was going to blow up.
Right.
Well, my wife called this button the Lost button.
Because I love it.
I got this battery hooked up and I went to D.C. and I said, you might have to push this button to turn everything back on. And every day, like clockwork, she would go to the power would go out, at some point. And she'd go to the basement and press the button. It would come back on. She called it the Lost button.
You better be careful because your wife is an extremely smart and intelligent lady.
And obviously very giving.
Right. And I have a feeling that sometimes she's going to wire it up so that if she has to hit the Lost button, your Tesla will eject you. So you'll be driving along the highway. Whoops. Now I know what happened.
Well, I fixed the problem with the Lost button. And so the system has worked flawlessly without a loss of power for 6 weeks now.
What is it you live without right now? Or is there anything? I mean, do you have every comfort that anyone else would expect to have by living on the grid?
Yeah.
Are you sacrificing anything?
At this point with this battery, this battery has changed our lives because now we can run, I told you we have an air conditioner. We also use those geothermal units to heat our house.
Okay.
But with the old battery, we couldn't really turn those on in the winter very often. And so we split wood and we burn wood in a boiler that heats water that heats our floors. So in terms of is it any harder the life at the Massey house than another life? Well, we don't have a gym membership. We have a log splitter.
Okay.
But
you have three sons, two sons.
Two sons and two girls.
There we go. Okay.
And nobody's
four log splitters.
Four log splitters and then a motor and a wedge. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm telling you that is you said, do you live with all the luxuries and whatever?
You're sacrificing anything
by
doing this.
We instead of watching TV and going to the gym, we split wood and put it in a boiler. But now with this battery, not only will we have all of the luxuries.
Your kids are going to get soft.
Of any other house.
Little Sarah, she's getting soft.
But we won't have to split as much wood in the winter either.
That's cool.
So all the heat, all the air conditioning, all the power. I mean, there's one of the things I hear constantly about, the getting away from oil, getting away from coal, getting away, going to solar, going to batteries. Ultimately, if that's where we have to wind up is we're not there yet. And right now there have to be sacrifices. There have to be, if you're all based off solar completely, if it doesn't, if we have, I mean, like this week where it's rained all week, what are you getting? I mean, do you see any of that at all? Or is that, again, that battery just kind of helps conserve it, it helps save it, it helps, you've got much more efficiency.
Well, to your point, so you were expanding this to, to the grid and, we have aluminum plants and we have steel plants here in Kentucky that use electric arc furnaces. You are not going to run those puppies on solar panels, okay?
Right.
You're not. The power plant can't call the steel plant and say, hey, could you turn down your furnace there, your electric arc furnace?
Right.
Because the clouds are going over here in Lexington, okay, or wherever the solar panels are.
Right.
So the struggle that I have at my house is the same struggle we are having with alternative energy as a country or, as a world.
Yeah.
And that is storage.
Right.
Solar panels are there. They're actually a viable. The price has come down so much that even when they're not subsidized now, in many situations, they make sense over other conventional means, but the power is intermittent, and that's what makes them impractical.
Well, and you seem to have put together the patchwork necessary to live off the grid. And people are going to have to understand that there's very few places on the planet, maybe southern Arizona, where there's enough full-time sunlight that you could actually power a home. So people have to understand you're going to have to be able to put together a patchwork. And I think
a place to store it, right? That's what we're saying.
And it appears to be what you've been able to do with the Tesla is you're able to store some of that power that you generate.
And let me expand on that now. I think in 10 years, and people are going to get mad at me for saying this, I think every car is going to be electric.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and again, with electric cars, the only drawback they have is the batteries.
Right. Okay? Yeah. Yeah. If you could get them to go 500 miles or 400 miles on a car.
Boom. Game over. Because every other aspect of the car is better.
Because the Tesla can go from 0 to 60 in 2.5 seconds now.
Yeah. And literally, they call it insane.
Do you have that beast mode or insane mode on yours?
No.
Yours was older?
Regular crazy mode or
so
whatever.
Like, check back for his next project, making beast mode on a Tesla that doesn't have it yet.
But so let me tell you where I was going with it. In 10 years, I think every car will be electric. It just makes too much sense. And then I also think in 10 or 20 years, every house is going to have a battery. And let me tell you why. The wires that come into your 100-amp or 200-amp breaker box there on your house, they are sized for your most immediate pressing need, your peak need. But the reality is, even a regular home that's not off the grid rarely uses more than an average of 2,000 watts, which would be less than 10 amps. And so you could power your house instead of those that transformer and the big electric lines that would kill you if you touched them. Instead of having that to power your house, if you had a battery in your house, you could provide the average need of your house with an extension cord. And that has ramifications for
making our infrastructure
more robust.
Because that kind of brings us to, the one political thing that I want
to
touch on.
To the point that we said we weren't going to get
just the one aspect of politics I wanted to step on. What is standing in the way of that? Because it seems to me, now you've gone the roundabout way of figuring out how this is what you've done is you've disrupted the market.
Well, one thing, say he's done this like he's had to do this. No, he loves this.
No,
obviously.
Obviously.
This poor woman over here and his girl. I mean, this is what he does.
I know. This is like you and me doing a podcast.
Exactly.
We're not making any money.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I guess my point is, it seems as though the technology is there. We've figured out how to make a car go 350 miles mm-hmm. on electric. We've figured out how to efficiently generate some power from solar, some from wind, some from coal, some from this. What's standing in the way of what you just did becoming an industry that is affordable for the vast majority of middle-class Americans in providing that service?
Well, I think it's going to happen. I don't think there's anything standing in the way. But, Leland, I get this question sometimes. Is the next generation going to be as well off as our generation? Will they be the first generation that goes down in quality of life? And they always like to ask politicians that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I laugh at them. I'm like, of course the next generation is going to be better off.
Yeah.
But not thanks to anything that's happening in Washington, D.C. It's
right.
going to be in spite of Washington,
right.
D.C.
Yeah.
It's going to be because of the engineers and the inventors and the people that are tinkering. And the people that are the capitalists that are taking risks with their money.
That's the word for you. You're a tinkerer. That's exactly what it is.
Well, okay, here's what I love.
On a major level, I grant you, but still.
Here's what I love. You basically looked at it and said, I have a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I need more efficient off-the-grid power delivered to my house. And you took the time to figure out how to get around it and make it all come together. That's the whole point is when, we have our set way of doing things in industries, in politics, in religion sometimes, and it takes like a tinkerer to come around. I mean, Jesus was a tinkerer, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, it takes a tinkerer to come around and go, I think I'll challenge this.
There's a better way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think our founding fathers were tinkerers, right?
We had the Magna Carta. Why not? Why did we have to improve on that?
What's wrong with this?
Right?
Yeah. But it takes a dissatisfaction with the status quo to move forward. If you're happy where you're at, then you're never going to move from there.
Right. Right.
But the other way to say this is necessity is the mother of invention, right?
Yeah.
And so we had the necessity.
Misery is a great motivator. You guys were miserable at night. Yes. You could turn your air conditioner on.
But the cool thing to me, though, is in all of this is that it wasn't a necessity. I mean, it was necessary for you, I think, because
there was a challenge that we took on.
Yes, exactly. And it was engineering, and it was creative, and it was inventive, and also very important to your heart, because there's something about you, I guess, that you want more independence than you even have now.
And, okay.
You see that at Monticello, though,
I think. Yeah. Okay, so let's get esoteric here for a second.
I don't know what that means.
Well, okay, what drives success? Desire. Period. Like, right? I mean,
how do you define success?
Well,
go there.
But let me go with this.
All right.
All right. So we have a lot of people in our society today that default to victim status.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it's this is in my way. This is in my way. This is in my way.
Right.
Of what I want. Okay. Well, I've told people this. My dad told me this. If you want something bad enough, you'll figure it out. So for you, what you wanted bad enough was air conditioning at night. Mm-hmm. And you wanted it bad enough to make the sacrifices to figure out this way to do it.
But not bad enough that I would hook up to
wire. That's blow up your house.
Well, no. Right.
Well,
that's the big thing to me, though, about this whole story, again, is you wanted air conditioning, but you weren't going to default.
Right.
In my words,
you wanted it your way.
The grid. You wanted it the way you wanted it, and you found a way to make it happen.
Right.
And hard as that may have been, many outhouse trips as you've had to have made, you found a way to make it happen.
All right. So real quick, I wanted one more thing on the battery itself. Now you can run, like, I don't want to get too personal here, but how big is your house?
It's 4,400 square feet plus the basement.
Okay. And the outhouse. Add that in there.
Plus the outhouse.
15 square feet, I guess.
You can run this entire 4,400 square foot house plus a basement.
And an outhouse.
And an outhouse.
25 square feet.
There's lighting in the outhouse?
No. Sorry.
There doesn't need to be. It's an outhouse.
You know what
you don't know what an outhouse is, obviously.
You know what the outhouse... Actually, I know what an outhouse is without walls.
Yeah, actually.
Do you want to hear the story real quick?
No, I don't. I think I heard it in Arizona with you
long ago. All right, because I was going to tell him the story.
We'll record it and add that in on the end and not waste Congressman's time.
Where was I?
I don't know.
4,400 square feet.
You can do all of this. I was going to say what would make the outhouse really cool is if you put like Wi-Fi and then had like sports ESPN in there and all that kind of stuff. Anyway. What you can power all of this with a Tesla battery. Mm-hmm. For how long?
If we had very, very cloudy, rainy days for 3 days.
The entire house, air conditioning included.
Air conditioning included. Now, if it gets sunny one of those days and the other days are just cloudy days but not totally dark, I don't anticipate our backup generator ever running. But from, let's say, March until next November, like literally you almost always get a sunny day inside of a week. And I can go through six semi-cloudy days with this battery.
Okay. Right. Because the point is that that one sunny day in a week is the solar panels charging the battery, keeping it stored, and it uses it much more efficiently than the whole hydrogen exploding battery.
So there's enough sun in Kentucky on an average week on one day.
Yeah. One day.
To power a 4,400 square foot house with the right battery apparatus for 3 days.
Yes.
There is now.
Yeah.
I know, but that's groundbreaking when you think about it.
Look.
Don't you think?
It is amazing. Like, people think solar panels are not efficient.
Yeah. I've heard that many times.
The reality is they're 100 times more efficient than trying to grow switchgrass on my farm per acre, right? And then burn the switchgrass or make it into ethanol or something like that.
Right.
Solar panels are 100 times better in terms of land usage than ethanol or switchgrass or whatever biofuel you want to go.
And so out of all of that, you're powering it with solar. What savings have you incurred? I mean, you had to spend a lot of money.
None.
Right.
Zero. Don't do this to save money.
There we go.
No, I know. But I mean...
Yet.
At some point, when this becomes a thing, it's going to save money. So down the road, did you save anything?
Well, I mean, I basically paid for all my electricity for the rest of my life. I think this battery will last 20 years.
20 years. Okay, that was going to be my next question.
I'm 47 now.
Right.
And I'll be 67. And the battery, even though it came out of a wrecked car, I paid $15,000 for this battery.
Right. Wow.
Okay. But if it lasts 20 years, that's less than that's about $700 a year.
Yeah.
That the battery, $750 a year, that battery will amortize over.
Wow.
And so that's 50, you know, $60 a month.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, now that I've got this going, I am insulated against anything that happens in the future. Like, we're all pretty sure electricity prices are going to go nowhere but up, right? But mine is locked in. The solar panels.
If people keep leaving the grid, Thomas, yes. Yeah. That's what's going to happen to all of us. Thank you.
The solar panels that I put on the house 11 years ago are just about as good today.
Still the same ones.
Still the same ones.
Wow.
And they will last my lifetime. So that's going to last my lifetime. Basically, Leland, it's almost like we got to look in an actuary table to see if this is going to work out for me. But if I live to be 67 or 75, I will save money.
Right. Okay.
One more point about solar panels real quick. So when I hear in the news wherever that solar panels aren't efficient enough, what I'm actually hearing or should be hearing is the batteries aren't efficient
enough.
Right. Solar panels are fine. It's the storing of that electricity for those cloudy days. Yeah. It's been the problem.
And who knows what will happen to batteries in the next 20 years?
They're going to get better. There could be new chemistries invented. But the interesting thing, bet that Tesla has made, instead of waiting for a new battery to come along, they said, let's take these laptop batteries and let's just brutally reduce the cost and expand the scale of production. They've got a gigafactory. And they are basically a battery company. I know people talk about them as a car company, but they're really a battery company. And I think a lot of other car manufacturers are eventually going to have to buy their batteries because they're going to be so far ahead
of
the game.
That's pretty fascinating. All right, real quick to wrap up. What do you hope comes out? I mean, you know, you're a congressman who happened to put his house off the grid because you were fascinated with all this.
Right.
Go through all this trouble. Yeah. But in terms of disrupting things, what do you hope people take as an inspiration? Because you put this out. You wanted people to see this.
It's on YouTube.
Where can people see that?
It's I've got a YouTube channel. I think my YouTube name is Old Milwaukee 100. don't ask why.
Well, we're going to put a link to it on our website.
Great.
But
the reason I did this, and I did it for my family and for me, but the reason I made a video of it is so that other people can do this, because making mistakes is expensive and dangerous. And I'm not saying I did everything the safe way. Okay. There's my disclaimer, but people can hopefully learn, and they can see that what is doable and what's not doable. And they can make a decision based on that. But I think you're going to see a lot more people do this. Unfortunately, though, as my wife has pointed out, I just drove up the price of wrecked Tesla batteries.
Yeah.
Like, if we want to double the size of our battery, now we just showed everybody how to do it.
Cameron and I, we better build ours before.
Well, I mentioned
built yours.
I got to build ours at the same time. I just didn't see his YouTube channel.
Well, thank you for coming in, man. We really appreciate it. And
Thanks, Cameron.
Exactly what kind of the vision of what our conversations are wanting to be. And we appreciate your time. And look forward to seeing more projects like this out of you. So,
What is the next thing? If this is done,
what's
maintaining it, what are you going to tinker with now?
Maybe start a fire.
Well,
I feel like he started more than one in his life.
I am going to put it on the internet, so I want to be able to monitor the battery from Washington D.C. That's the software I'm working on right now.
Okay, all right.
But we'll see what's next. I want to add some more solar panels now, frankly. Yeah. Because the old batteries couldn't take all the energy, and now these can.
Now they can. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. All right, Congressman Thomas Massie, I'm Leland Conway, along with Cameron Mills, The Disruption Zone.